And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Pastor John Hagee is one of the most well-known and powerful preachers of today. He makes millions and reaches millions through his television networks. His church is one of the largest in the country. He's also, dare we say it, a bit controversial, accused of making anti-Catholic comments, anti-gay comments, and anti-Semitic comments. And yet he seems to get approval, at least from some sources. He has endorsed John McCain. John McCain has spoken highly of him. He's also made friends with the pro-Israel community. Who is Pastor John Hagee? What does he really believe? What is fair to say about him? And what are just some crazy thoughts of his followers? To help answer these questions, I've invited freelance reporter Max Blumenthal, who studied Pastor John Hagee. Max, welcome to the Inside Scoop. I guess we don't have him on the line yet. All right, well, we will get to Max Blumenthal in just a minute. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit more about Pastor John Hagee. His church is called the Cornerstone Church. It's based in San Antonio, Texas. It is a non-denominational evangelical church. So that means that it accepts evangelical churches, evangelicals from various denominations. And he's perhaps best known for his television network, GETV, Global Evangelism Television. He is the president of John Hagee Ministries, and that ministries has national radio and television, 160 total TV stations cover him, 50 radio stations, and 8 networks. So he clearly gets a lot of airtime, far more than we do perhaps on the head-on radio network. But he's very controversial, and he's controversial for many of the things he said. I know that on Jewish issues, he's quite, let's just say, maximalist. He believes in a greater Israel, and that, we'll get to the specifics of his beliefs there in just a minute. But what's strange is the question of whether or not his beliefs in the state of Israel have to do with converting all the Jews and making them go home. Are they his beliefs, or are they just beliefs of his followers? He's made some very negative anti-gay comments, anti-Catholic comments, and we'll hear some of those details right now from Max Blumenthal. Max, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
It's great to be here.
Now, you've been studying Pastor John Hagee for how long?
I've been writing about him since early 2006 when he formed Christians United for Israel and really stepped onto the international stage as a lobbyist.
Well, what drew you to study Pastor Hagee?
I've been reporting as a journalist on the religious right since just prior to Bush's election. I guess around the time of the war in Iraq, I wrote about how some members of the Christian right saw the war in Iraq as a biblical imperative and were distributing propaganda in Iraq, attempting to proselytize Iraqis and alienating them against the U.S. and convincing them that this was, in fact, a crusade. And I saw Pastor Hagee's efforts in the U.S. and in Israel as a sort of natural extension of this. He openly calls the United States' military incursions and Israel's military activities in the Middle East a crusade, and he sees it as a Christian crusade. And I found his activities disturbing, and I was also disturbed by the Jewish community's tactical alliance with him.
Does he consider the war in Iraq to be a crusade? Does he support, for example, converting Muslims in Iraq?
Oh, absolutely. But he's more interested in eviscerating and liquidating Muslims in Iraq, and he has called a nuclear war with Iran a certainty, and he's prophesied it numerous times. And he's called for it. He said we should embrace the words of Joseph Lieberman and consider a military strike on Iraq. But, privately, when he's writing in Pentecostal magazines like Charisma, he's a Pentecostal preacher, he's just speaking to the choir. He's calling on he's lusting for a nuclear war with Iran, because that will hasten the end times prophecies that you know, that he considers himself an expert on, and you know, will usher in you know, a 1,000-year reign of you know, the Messiah.
And, let me back up, because I want to get, there's so many details here that I want to get
yeah, I know it's
clear.
Not really esoteric, but I mean, you're talking
before,
about it.
Before we get to Iran, I'm curious to know, in Iraq, you said you came on to him because of his views of Iraq. Does he believe, when he says that he supports us being in Iraq, does he believe that we should convert the Muslims there, or that this is, what are his beliefs on that issue before we get to other issues?
You know, Pastor Hagee, you know, when I was writing about Iraq, I was writing about a guy named Charles Stanley, who's the former head of the Southern Baptist Convention, and you know, a lot of other people in that community use televangelism to convert Muslims. It's really hard for them to get access to countries like Iraq, so they saw the war as a way to get missionaries in there. In fact, what wound up happening was there was a backlash against missionaries who had been in the Middle East for decades, and a lot of them were killed by radical Islamists who had been empowered by, you know, the war in Iraq, and their propaganda had justified. Pastor Hagee has a different motive. Everything he does relates to his eschatology, or his view of how the world is going to end. And he sees any military conflict in the Middle East as a positive thing, because it's going to hasten the end times and bring about what he sees as a battle between Gog and Magog, the battle that takes place in the Book of Revelations. And he's sort of, you know, extrapolated out of the Book of Revelations, which was written, you know, a long time ago, before there were, before, you know, countries like Russia existed, that, you know, countries like Russia and Ethiopia, which is a U.S. ally, which is, you know, has CIA ties, and Sudan, countries like this will join together in an attack against Israel. Then China will march 2 million troops, infantry troops, across Russia and attack Israel. But these airstrikes that Russia and Ethiopia will mount against Israel will be destroyed by God. God will send flames against their jets and destroy them in midair. This comes directly from Pastor Hagee's book, Jerusalem Countdown. And the Chinese troops will all be destroyed as well. And, I went to the... Go ahead.
I just want to back up before we get into the specifics and just find out, who is this guy? I mean, he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Did he have did he start with a small church that grew over time? I mean, how did he become, this multimedia and massive church pastor?
Yeah, it sounds like we're talking about a guy who just got removed from the subway by the transit police for making insane statements. But we're actually talking about someone who commands an 18,000-member church called the Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. He's the highest paid televangelist in the country, that's a pretty incredible feat.
How much is he paid?
He's paid at least $2 million, and that excludes what he makes off of his books, which are sold, you know, to his flock. But this is just from the collection plate, and he and members of his own family approve his salary, so there is no board of directors.
Now, how did he get started? Was he just a pastor of a small town church that grew and grew and grew, or did he have? How does someone like Pastor Hagee get to have the power that he has today?
Right, he inherited his father's congregation and was a, you know, well known figure in San Antonio for a long time, and you know, there's a big Pentecostal community there, and you know, he has ties in. It's a military town. He has ties in the military, and he's managed to build up this church through, through his efforts in San Antonio and on, you know, TV channels like Trinity Broadcasting Network. He rakes in a lot of money from well-meaning but desperate people who see, you know, the rapture as their way out of a life that isn't, you know, very pleasant. You know, these are working class and poor people who have hard lives, and he's exploiting them with these end times prophecies. Through his money, he's been able to basically buy influence. You know, he's a close personal friend of Tom DeLay, who also believes in the end times theology. But he's also, you know, in the state of Texas, sued Hagee for violating their water laws because he was using too much water on his on his massive ranch that he owns outside San Antonio. He paid the big.
Who sued Hagee? Who sued him?
The state of Texas. This is an example of his influence. He paid the biggest Republican lobbyist in the state to lobby for new water laws and actually got those laws passed through the state legislature and voted on by his allies in the state legislature. So in 2006, when I started writing about Pastor Hagee, he had just hired Arlen Specter's former chief of staff, a guy named David Brog, who's Jewish, and said he was formerly a social liberal and now accepts Pastor Hagee's anti-abortion and anti-gay views and sees him as a Christian brother. I don't know if the money enticed him into this conversion, but Pastor Hagee hired him as his chief lobbyist in Washington to lobby for against the peace process between Israel and Palestine. And at the time, you know, when Israel was beginning its military campaign against Lebanon to lobby against the UN resolution that would have created a ceasefire and stopped Israel from bombing. You know, and he has close ties to the Likud party in Israel and even more far-right parties like Yisrael Beiteinu, you know, the party of Avigdor Lieberman, who recently pledged to take care of or eliminate Arab members of Knesset. That happened yesterday. These are people who want to expel the Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza. These are the people.
We're getting far afield here. I mean, I know that, for example, I mean, I don't. But before I get to that, because there's a lot of issues there. For example, I know that Israel prohibits parties from serving in their Knesset that want to expel Arabs, like Meir Kahani's party was expelled for that reason. So, let me go back to just first the question of who he is, and we'll get into all his details on everything. Yeah. This guy builds up this very large church. Now, his views, his millennial views, are they that different from a lot of evangelicals? I mean, I don't know, maybe 20% of this country, maybe more, but takes the Bible literally and believes in Armageddon, believes in this, you know, the second coming of Jesus and the end of times and this great war between Christ and the Antichrist. Are his views typical of evangelicals in America, or are they farther afield? I mean, in other words, how is he different from your typical evangelical preacher? Is it just that he has more influence because he's larger, or are his views more extreme?
Well, most evangelicals are premillennial dispensationalists. That means that they believe that the rapture could come at any time, and it's going to be foreshadowed by a series of dispensations. And dispensations could be natural disasters or some sort of crisis, societal crisis or war. And so Pastor Hagee has, you know, posited himself as an expert on what these dispensations mean and when the rapture is going to come.
So the difference is that he specifies. The others believe that there's going to be this great war, but he says it's going to happen in Israel. It's him that is that what he's doing? He's giving concrete. This is happening today, rather than just an idea for the future.
The difference is how much emphasis he places on the end times. He places all the emphasis on the end times. He openly lusts for this violent rapture. I mean, if you read the Left Behind books, these sort of pulp prophecy novels by Tim LaHaye, who popularized end times theology, these are best-selling books, and there's a film series starring Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains. These are really books that depict, the rapture in the most pornographically violent terms, to the extent that you think that these people almost, lust to see the non-believers have their heads ripped off and their arms torn off and to be liquidated. This is the language of Pastor Hagee. The cover of his book, Jerusalem Countdown, has a mushroom cloud on it. And he says, he's very open about this. So there are other evangelicals who may be premillennial dispensationalists, but they don't place as much emphasis on the end times because they also are trying to follow other parts of Christian doctrine, which include taking care of the poor.
Hagee isn't focused on that.
Hagee has spoken out against welfare policies. He's called for shutting down, for the border, for a wall on the U.S.-Mexico border, stuff that, in my opinion, has nothing to do with the Bible. So he's another thing that distinguishes himself from maybe the evangelical mainstream is the extent to which he's framed this, I would say, necrophilious theology in a political context, in a modern political context. So it always relates to whatever the hot-button political issues are of the day. And so his followers, you know, tend to see it that way, too. But they
so in other words, if the Republican Party is really concerned about immigration today, he'll take their views on immigration. If they're really concerned about, you know, Iraq, then he'll take their views on Iraq. I mean, it sounds like he's basically doing the Rush Limbaugh work for the Christians. Is that fair?
Yeah, this is a comical and common thread in, you know, premillennial dispensationalist history. You know, Oral Roberts used to prophecy that Fidel Castro would drop dead tomorrow, and of course he never would. But that, you know, that was at a time when Fidel Castro was seen as, you know, Bin Laden is seen today. So people
who believe in the end times, they're looking for apocalypse everywhere they can around each and every corner.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
Absolutely. You should, you know, your listeners should go to the website Rapture Ready, where there's a rapture index based on all of the news of the day. And so the index will go up to red if the website thinks the rapture might come today. And there's a discussion thread there, and you can see how seriously people take this. It's a lot of people visit this website. It's not just a fringe element.
So I want to see where Hagee differs from some of the others. Certainly there are Christians who, I mean, you can go back to the time of Jesus, who said that there are people who will not pass here. I don't want to quote Jesus wrong, but basically that people, this generation shall not pass before we have the end of times. The idea of an apocalypse, the idea of a end of times, is very old in Christianity and indeed in Judaism too. There are Jews that, you know, want the Messiah to come and fervently believe he'll come every day. Maybe there are less Jews that believe that today than used to over time. Is Hagee trying to hasten the apocalypse? In other words, not just expecting it to occur, but actually trying to make it occur?
In my opinion, if we're to take him at his word, he is, because, I mean, he predicts that the apocalypse will come about through a series of wars involving Israel, and he's actively involved in lobbying for those wars to take place. And he makes no, before his flock, he is pretty explicit about the connection between these wars and the rapture that they are lusting for.
So his view is that if he can get Israel involved in a lot of wars, then it will be the great, that will turn into the great battle between Christ and the Antichrist that will lead to the end of times and the rapture and everything else.
Will usher in a thousand-year reign of God. He says, Jesus is, when God gets on that throne, this is a direct quote, he's going to rule with an iron rod, and he's going to make the ACLU do what he wants it to do. And, I know the ACLU is an organization that defends, a lot of Jews who are forced to say Christian prayers in public schools. So it's just not a guy who's a friend of the Jews.
Now, let me examine also who he's not a friend of. He has said some pretty strong things against Catholics. I know that Bill Donahue, who's, of course, quick to take offense at anything that involves Catholics, but but this seems pretty severe. He called it, I think, the great whore. What has he said about Catholics?
He calls it the whore of Babylon, the Catholic Church, and that's consistent with conservative evangelical theology. Tim LaHaye was...
Well, I mean, it's consistent that evangelicals are not Catholic and disagree with the Catholic Church. I mean, okay, they are not the same religion. I don't think it's consistent for them to call them the Catholic Church the whore of Babylon. I mean, that seems a lot more severe than simple disagreement.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to disagree with that. It's funny, though, that something now because... Albert Mohler, who's the head of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said that the Pope holds an ungodly, an unbiblical position and is an exploiter. Bill Donahue spoke beside him on Justice Sunday, the rally for the confirmation of Judge Samuel Alito. So, Donahue's...
Well, now, just to see, I mean, to say that the Pope is unbiblical, that, to me, is not I wouldn't call that Catholic hate speech. That, to me, is saying he disagrees with Catholic theology. Protestants don't believe in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. So
yeah.
He could say the Pope is unbiblical. That, to me, is disagreeing with Catholicism, whereas saying it's the Whore of Babylon, that's something different.
I guess Hagee has some trouble with subtlety.
I guess he does. Now, he hasn't been subtle towards gay people either.
No, I don't have any quotes in front of me, but he's been involved in efforts to limit their civil rights, just like pretty much every other member of the Christian right. And
didn't he blame Hurricane Katrina on gay people?
Well,
I thought he blamed.
That's right.
He blamed the hurricane
on the licentious lifestyle of people from New Orleans, and said, absolutely, this is. I was on Fresh Air with Terry Gross with Pastor Hagee, and I remember that. She was asking him, she asked him over and over, she was practically saying, did you really just say what I think you said, that, Hurricane Katrina is God's punishment? He said, absolutely, I think it is, over and over.
Irony is the French Quarter happened to be one of the few quarters in New Orleans that was spared. Because it happens to be on higher ground than some of the poorer black neighborhoods. So if God was punishing gay people by killing all the straights, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. But
just real quickly, New Orleans is also a Catholic city, and I've traveled extensively in Louisiana and in some of the rural western areas of Louisiana. I've met some Baptists who really think that New Orleans is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Because it's Catholic as well as having a French Quarter that's fair to gay people.
Absolutely, and there's race mixing, and it's always been a
thing.
Race mixing.
Now, what about racism? Speaking of race mixing, do we know, has Hagee made any racial comments, or is that the one group he hasn't offended yet?
He offended black people pretty severely in, I believe it was 97 or 98. He was trying to raise money for some high school students who were members of his church, or his parents were members of his church. And so he offered them up to do chores for, other parishioners, and he called it a slave sale. If they donate money to the scholarship fund that he was raising, he said, you can go home with a slave today.
That's terrible, and frankly, I'm surprised that I hadn't heard of that one, because that one is as severe as some of the other things he said. That's harsh. Go ahead.
Well, I just was going to say he needs to learn to master the art of subtlety.
Well, what's interesting to me is that someone who's this unsubtle has this much power. Now, in terms of anti-Semitism, he has said that the Holocaust is God's punishment on Jews. Is that fair? Has he said that?
He didn't say that the Holocaust was God's punishment for Jews. He said, I think he quotes the book of Jeremiah, and he says this is a quote from Pastor Hagee's book Jerusalem Countdown, and he's talking about the Holocaust and the foundation of Israel, Theodore Herzl's foundation of Israel, and he says, God then sent the hunters. The hunter is the one who pursues his target with force and fear. No one could see the horror of the Holocaust coming, but the force and fear of Hitler's Nazis drove the Jewish people back to the only home God ever intended for the Jews to have, Israel. I am stricken with awe and wonder at his boundless love for Israel, and so on. He talks about basically how the Holocaust was prophesied by God, and there was a silver lining on this cloud. It was great that the Holocaust happened because it fulfilled biblical prophecy, and of course he's writing for a Christian audience. So, he intends for his audience to see the Holocaust in a positive light by completely distorting a quote from Jeremiah, which is a constant problem in Hagee's writing.
Go ahead.
Well, he also blames, just in general, he does blame anti-Semitism on the Jews for their own disobedience, of God, for not being Christians. He says in Jerusalem Countdown in another passage, it was the disobedience and rebellion of the Jews, God's chosen people, to their covenantal responsibility to serve only the one true God, Jehovah, that gave rise to the opposition and persecution that they experienced beginning in Canaan and continuing to this very day. So, he's talking about Deuteronomy. I think he's he's talking about the golden calf. But, you know, I don't see how you can extrapolate from the tale of the golden calf, you know, how the Jews are experiencing anti-Semitism today. And he's obviously saying that they need to come to Jesus. So
I guess one of the things that gets me, I guess, about Pastor Hagee is, and maybe part of it is I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. I don't know, where did you grow up, Max?
Mostly in Washington, D.C.
Okay, Washington, D.C., unless you were went deep in town into Virginia. Part of, I guess, growing up as a Jewish kid in Nashville, Tennessee, most of what Hagee says, I have to say I've heard before. I haven't heard it perhaps as severe as he says it. What strikes me about Hagee is I think he says in public what a lot of evangelicals say in private. Don't get me wrong, I'm not defending it. But one of the people who listens to the show just is writing in the chat room that the Catholic Church is the whore of Babylon is a common belief of evangelicals. It was a common refrain in my childhood home. The anti-gay comments you hear from virtually half the churches, probably more than half, in America. The views on Jews, I know just growing up in Nashville, Tennessee, this idea of this strange love of Israel as the place where all the Jews need to go in order to fulfill the demands of the New Testament. What strikes me, I guess, is that Hagee is taking these things that people whisper and coming right up front and saying, you know, this is what we believe. What's your view on that?
I think if we take a close look at all or most of the leaders of the Christian right, they're saying the same things. And this is common. The problem is, I think the mainstream media tends to say that because it's common, that it's not extreme and it's not something that, you know, we can, you know, ascribe the same level of radicalism to as Louis Farrakhan, because he's more of a fringe character. You know, he's completely resigned to, you know, the black community, and he wears a funny costume.
Unfortunately, I think many of the things that Farrakhan says are also said in private by many people. I think that racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia are very strong in America. They're just not often spoken out loud.
I completely agree. I just think there was a disparity in mainstream media coverage between Farrakhan's comments and Hagee's comments. And Hagee has actually realized this recently, that you know, while he might be saying these things that are said in private by, you know, many, you know, people in the conservative evangelical community, now he has a national, if not an international, profile, and he needs to run a more sophisticated PR campaign. So if you look on YouTube, and do a search for my video called Rapture Ready, or you can just Google it, you'll see my attempts to, you know, at his most recent Washington-Israel Summit, which is a conference of 3,000 members of his organization, Christians United for Israel, in Washington, with a lot of the, you know, top Republican lawmakers and policymakers, and it included lobbying on Capitol Hill. You'll see my attempts to perforate, you know, and break down Pastor Hagee's PR campaign. You know, he declares at the beginning of this conference, "Our support for Israel has nothing to do with end times theology. Our support for Israel has nothing to do with eschatology." But then I go and talk to, you know, some of the thousands of people milling around in the hallways or cheering for his speeches in the, you know, main hall, or weirdly blowing shofars and wearing tallis even though they're Christians. And they tell me, you know, that we have to, you know, fight the Muslims and kill, you know, essentially liquidate them because the Bible says to. They say, you know, that if you've seen the Left Behind series, that's how it's going to happen. And if you don't convert to Christianity right now, you know, you won't be raptured up to heaven. You're going to suffer, you know, in an everlasting lake of fire. Or they'll just say, you know, I'm here because the Bible tells me to be here, and that's what the Book of Revelation says. They're really open about it.
Does Hagee believe in a modern-day crusade? I mean, does he believe in, as, that wench Ann Coulter, and I'm sorry for that word, I just think that but, you know, convert their leaders, you know, kill their leaders and convert them to Christianity. I mean, she's a performance artist, but I mean, is that really his goal, to have a huge international World War III between Christians and Muslims? Is that his goal? What are his views about Islam and Muslims?
Well, he's just vitriolically Islamophobic, and he openly demonizes Muslims. If you go to any of his conferences, he has dozens of surrogates making speeches. Gary Bauer and some people from the far right in Israel, like Gal Luft, people like that, who are spinning out these conspiracy theories of Arabs and Muslims trying to dominate the world's financial sector, while at the same time undermining it from below through terrorist groups. And it reminds me of the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories I heard. I'm not comparing these people to the Nazis, but I do need to say that it does remind me of the anti-Semitic conspiracy theories I heard Nazis spinning out in the 30s, where Jews were pulling the international financial purse strings and were at the same time forming communist groups to subvert stable governments from below. It's the same rhetoric, and he's even deployed sort of these bizarre figures who call themselves ex-Muslims, because by saying they were former Muslims and former Palestinian terrorists, especially a character named Walid Shobat, they can bash Muslims in a way that non-Muslims can't, in a more racist and bigoted way. Walid Shobat, is really disturbing, was recently sent to speak to the Air Force Academy. This is a close ally of Pastor Hagee. He's speaking on the taxpayer's dime at the Air Force Academy to cadets about the true threat of Islam and how all followers of Islam are banding together to actually establish an Islamic caliphate everywhere from Europe to the U.S. It turns out that he's completely faked his story about being a Palestinian terrorist. He was never involved in any terrorist activities in Palestine, and he was never a Muslim. He was always a Christian. So these are frauds that are, working for Pastor Hagee to spread the gospel of Islamophobia.
Now, I'm just curious. Is Hagee, it sounds like, is not making a distinction between those Islamic terrorists that do exist and are trying to form a caliphate. I mean, some of them do exist, and the great majority of peaceful Muslims around the world. Is he basically saying that all Muslims are terrorists?
It's funny. He feeds off of the eschatology of radical Islam. He feeds off of people like Ahmadinejad, because both of them have an end times theology. And
sure,
Pastor Hagee relies on Ahmadinejad and projects him as a figure who's more extreme than he is, and uses him as a foil. But in doing so, he doesn't make a distinction. None of the people, who are his surrogates make a distinction. And he sees the war on terror, and every military engagement the U.S. is involved in, as part of a battle of Gog and Magog. There's no distinction, there's no, areas of gray, there's no nuance at all. It's us against them.
Help me out. Who is Magog? Is that the Antichrist? I don't claim to know all this stuff, so, and maybe our listeners don't either. Who is Magog?
Yeah, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that,
I don't know. We may have a listener correct us in a minute, but
Magog,
yeah.
Magog, but forces of darkness.
The forces of darkness. Let me open up the phone lines and give our listeners a chance to ask you questions, contribute to this dialogue. And there's a lot more to talk about. I want to talk about John McCain and his relationship with John Hagee, also the pro-Israel community and Senator Lieberman and their relationship with him, and whether or not they need to distance themselves from John Hagee. The toll-free number is 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Let's take a very quick break just to give people a chance to call in, and then we'll proceed right away with more of my interview with Max Blumenthal. Right back after this. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As recently as late February, President George W. Bush has been saying that he doesn't believe the economy is slipping into a recession.
I don't think we're headed to recession, but no question we're in a slowdown.
When it comes to those vying for the position currently held by Bush, he pretty much stands alone. Democratic presidential contenders Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have made it very clear on the campaign trail and in debates that they believe that the economy is on a downward slope toward a recession. And on Friday, Republican presidential nominee Senator John McCain joined the chorus at a town hall in Atlanta.
I would say that it's very likely, and more economists are saying that we are probably, quote, in a recession.
The comments by the Arizona senator come in stark contrast to remarks he made during a Fox News presidential debate on January 10, 2008. At that point in time, he downplayed any recession talk.
I don't believe we're headed into a recession. I believe the fundamentals of this economy are strong, and I believe they will remain strong.
McCain has said that he will preserve Bush's tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, even though he originally voted against them. Clinton and Obama have both foisted part of the blame for the stalling economy on those tax cuts. And Obama hasn't shied away from tying McCain and Bush together on the trail.
George Bush handed out billions of dollars of tax breaks to the wealthy few over the course of 7.5 years, and John McCain promises to make those same tax cuts permanent.
Both Clinton and Obama have said that they will repeal those tax cuts.
We will go back to the tax rates we had before George Bush became president. And my memory is people did really well during that time period, and they will keep doing really well.
A construction trades policy about to be adopted in Los Angeles will hire more low-income and local residents in projects worth $15 billion over 5 years. The Los Angeles and Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council is leading a coalition of labor, community, and business groups to get it done. Kevin Norton is organizing director and political coordinator for IBEW Local 11.
By having an opportunity for people to get into the Building Trades Apprenticeship Program, it really gives a ladder up into the middle class for a lot of kids that haven't had opportunities in life.
Norton says it's a sign of how vibrant the L.A. area labor movement is.
We have some pretty visionary people out here in Los Angeles, and we have a very vibrant labor movement in Los Angeles.
Richard Slauson, executive director of the L.A. Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council, says this policy is good for construction workers, for the industry, and the communities involved.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Pastor John Hagee. He is probably one of the most powerful pastors of today, in both in terms of the largeness of his church and the millions of dollars he rakes in, and of course his multimedia empire. And we're talking about what he has said and who has gotten some support from him. The toll-free number is 877-4 head on. Gene from Oregon, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Matt.
Hello, hello.
Hi. I have a question. Now, regarding the anti-Muslim ex-terrorist that spoke the Air Force Academy. Now, I know that there was, about 2 weeks ago or so, there was an article saying that the Air Force had invited Muslims to come in and speak and present their side of the story. But what I'd like to know is, I found that article kind of wanting because, as I understand it, under the Air Force law, under Air Force rules and such, you're not really supposed to be proselytizing. And these guys were kind of proselytizing. And what I don't understand is, why is the media reluctant to cover this issue with Pastor Hagee and others in general? You know, they'll instead of saying that the issue of presenting the proselytization is wrong, they'll just have someone on in the other side. So when
great question, Gene. You know, I've had Mikey Weinstein on this program before, who's talked about not someone as far out as Pastor Hagee, but simply the fact that at the Air Force Academy in Colorado, they made people go to attend Christian prayer services. So this proselytization is unfortunately quite common throughout the military. It's not just a question of Pastor John Hagee. But, Max, what's your comment?
Well, you know, another element that's troubling about Waleed Shobat's appearance at the Air Force Academy is that his talk includes his awakening to Christianity and how Christianity has sort of delivered him from the darkness of terrorism. He essentially is proselytizing, and that, you know, violates not only the Establishment Clause but also military rules that ban proselytizing in military institutions. And Mikey Weinstein's been able to document dozens of cases almost every month where there's proselytizing going on because of the military's close relationship with people like James Dobson and Focus on the Family and people like Pastor John Hagee.
Max, has there been a lawsuit? Has the ACLU or Mikey Weinstein taken them to court to stop this?
Yeah, I can't point to specific lawsuits, but I think Mikey and the Military Religious Freedom Foundation have at least three lawsuits going on against the Pentagon and specific military bases for proselytizing.
And Gene, we will bring him back. He's a good guest.
Jewish cadets and Muslim cadets. So, I mean, I think there's an alliance right now within the military of, and it's kind of a beautiful thing to see, of Jews and Muslims getting together and fighting religious discrimination.
Thank you, Gene. Go ahead.
Okay. I was gonna just ask why Mr. Blumenthal thinks the media and as a whole doesn't cover the religious right in the sense of the proselytization issue is so prevalent, and there
is
it is.
Max, what about that? I mean, I've had Mikey Weinstein on my show, but my show is hardly typical of the mainstream media. This kind of subject hasn't gotten a lot of mainstream media attention, proselytization in the military. Is that because a lot of Americans don't see a problem with it, or do you think there's something else going on?
It's hard for the media to explain the distinction between the really dangerous and what I call dominionist theology, in other words, a theology that aims to dominate society through political and cultural institutions of the Christian right, and mainstream Christian theology. You know, there's always been chaplains on military bases, and that's a good thing. But this goes beyond just having chaplains there to minister to troops. This is about, you know, aggressively proselytizing troops and using them as cadres in a pretty explicit plan to seize the reins of all of the major institutions of American society and establish basically a Christian nation.
I think there's a huge difference between ministering to people who have a certain faith and need to you know, explore that when they're having a tough time serving the military, that, you know, that's a very tough moment and they need a chaplain to help counsel them, and going and missionizing everyone else. There is a huge difference. Gene, thank you for your call and for bringing that up. I wanted to ask you, Max, about John McCain and his relationship with Pastor Hagee. Hagee has endorsed McCain, and McCain has said, I think, that he won't be against the endorsement, but he doesn't agree with all of Hagee's views. What is Hagee's relationship with McCain?
Well, it all comes down to McCain's relationship to the right and the far right. The perception, I think, in his camp and among his advisors is that he needs to shore up his base on the right and energize the evangelical flock that propelled Bush into the White House if he's going to have any chance against Hillary or Obama. And he's had a pretty adversarial relationship with the Christian right ever since he called Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson agents of intolerance and, you know, carved out a maverick path for himself. And now he's going back on that, and Pastor Hagee's come forward because Pastor Hagee likes power. He puts power above any principle and wants to be close to John McCain and the White House, and wants to have a voice in the White House. So he offered up his endorsement, and John McCain saw it as a good thing. Pastor Hagee's always been really close to Mike Huckabee, and Mike Huckabee is an open Christian Zionist who's led tours to Israel of Christians and called for the expulsion of the Palestinians from the West Bank. But in fact, John McCain's been courting Pastor John Hagee since early 2007, which was, you know, before Mike Huckabee really started meeting in earnest with Hagee and campaigning with them. So this is a big deal for McCain, and he doesn't really care what, you know, liberals or the mainstream media think. And right now he's in New Orleans. He's meeting with a secretive group called the Council for National Policy, which is sort of a right-wing version of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's an off-the-record meeting. The press isn't allowed. Member roles aren't published. And this is a group that was founded by Tim LaHaye in 1979. And McCain's down there trying to court Tim LaHaye, who's another one of these end-times preachers.
Now, this is interesting because just to compare McCain with, say, Obama. Obama was asked in a recent debate because Louis Farrakhan did endorse Barack Obama, and Obama said, look, I've denounced Farrakhan's anti-Semitism. I denounce him, those views. And Hillary Clinton said, you know, well, it's not just enough to denounce. You have to reject. And he said, well, I denounce and reject. Though, frankly, I wasn't quite sure whether he was just rejecting the anti-Semitic views or rejecting all of Louis Farrakhan. John McCain seems to be walking a finer line. He said, this is a quote from an AP article, he says that he, I'm trying to find the part where he welcomes it. Here's the part that's quoted. It says, however, in no way did I intend for his endorsement to suggest that I in turn agree with all of Pastor Hagee's views, which I obviously do not. I don't have to agree with everyone who endorses my campaign. But what's interesting about that is that, you know, obviously you don't have to endorse everything that a supporter supports, endorses. He did say, here's the quote, Hagee supports what I stand for and believe in, McCain said when pressed on the issue. So he obviously supports some of what Hagee does. Can he continue to play this sort of fine line? He likes part of Hagee and doesn't like part of Hagee?
You can play it as long as the mainstream press and the Democratic leadership don't make an issue out of it. In the same way that an issue has been made of Barack Obama's unsolicited endorsement by Louis Farrakhan, and you know, McCain.
Was this a solicited endorsement? That's an important distinction. Obviously, Barack Obama didn't solicit Farrakhan's endorsement. Did McCain solicit Hagee's endorsement?
It's amazing. John McCain stood on a stage with Pastor Hagee beside him and you know, praised him and said that he was so grateful for this endorsement. It was a major press conference.
Like, oh, okay. McCain, that's a major difference between him and Obama. This isn't just a question of Hagee saying, I like McCain, and McCain saying, well, you know, I'm glad you like me, but I don't agree with everything. He was on stage with the guy.
It's amazing that they get away with this, or that Giuliani got away with the same thing with Pat Robertson. You know, part of it is because, like just what we were talking about before, that Pastor Hagee, because his views are common within, you know, a culture that has millions of members, you know, he's not seen as the same, as extreme as someone who's more of a fringe character, like,
I wonder if this might hurt him in the Catholic vote. I mean, Catholic vote is quite large in America. A major portion, you know, they generally are about half and half, maybe slightly more support of the Democratic Party. The Catholic Lead and Catholics United have both called on McCain to reject the endorsement. This is not just a matter of disagreeing with part of Hagee, but to actually reject the endorsement the way Obama did with Farrakhan. He's not likely to do that, is he?
Well, this is a key point you bring up. Catholics were an essential element of George Bush's coalition in winning re-election, and he won an unprecedented level of Catholic votes because Catholic archbishops like Michael Sheridan, who has a really influential district in the swing states of Colorado and New Mexico, threatened to excommunicate any members who would vote for John Kerry because of his views on abortion. So I don't know what the archbishops think about this, but if they are going to place the same emphasis on anti-Catholic bigotry as they do on abortion. And this is a big problem for John McCain.
It's interesting, to compare, simply because abortion is one aspect of Catholic theology. Certainly that's one part of it, and they were so harsh on Kerry because of it. Here's a guy that is not simply disagreeing on one issue, but is basically calling the entire Catholic Church an awful institution, a whore of Babylon. That would seem to be more severe than simply disagreeing with one tenet of Catholicism, I would think.
It's unfortunate, but I actually don't think this is going to have that much of an impact on the turnout of conservative Catholics for John McCain. His views on abortion are going to be paramount. And there's an initiative called Evangelicals and Catholics Together that convicted Watergate felon Charles Colson, who became born again, initiated with a lot of conservative Catholic leaders like Richard John Newhouse. People like Rick Santorum are involved in it. And basically they made a deal to overlook their differences in doctrine and theology in order to defeat the secularists and kind of, gain dominance over government. And before they, resolve those differences, first they need to defeat the secularists. And this initiative is still strong, and it's been an essential part of every Republican electoral coalition since Reagan first declared his candidacy. I mean, these are the Reagan Democrats. They're Catholics who don't like, the views of secular society. They're anti-abortion, and they're troubled by, a lot of progressive change that's going on in society.
Now, there's another group that is overlooking differences because they have a common agenda, and that is strong supporters of Israel. Correct me if you disagree, but there is reason to fear a nuclear Iran. Certainly, Barack Obama has talked about the fact that he is against Iran getting nuclear weapons, as is Hillary Clinton. They might deal with it differently, but in terms of being against or wary of a nuclear threat, they're certainly as wary as John McCain. The difference, how does Hagee want to take it, I guess, one step further than maybe the mainstream American position, which is that we don't want a man who talks about, wiping Israel off the state of the earth or denying the Holocaust. We don't want them to get a nuclear weapon. Where does Hagee go farther than mainstream legitimate fears of Iran?
Right. I would describe the relationship between Pastor Hagee and other Christian right leaders and organizations that put themselves forward as leaders of the Jewish community in the United States as a relationship of mutual exploitation. Neither side takes the other side's views seriously, and they've come together around supporting Israel. But what is supporting Israel? I think most American Jews, polls consistently show, most American Jews favor some form of peace, of a peace process, of negotiations and diplomacy, and they recognize that Israeli security is dependent on a stable Palestinian state, on a two-state solution. Pastor Hagee explicitly rejects this sort of solution, and besides being a politically wise solution, it's a moral solution. Pastor Hagee wants to forcibly deport or transfer the entire Palestinian population out of the West Bank and Gaza, because he sees all of greater Israel, Judea and Samaria included, as the landing pad for the Messiah. So,
let me ask you, Max. As you know, this is an extreme minority Jewish or Israeli view. The few that supported that view supported Meir Kahani. They're about 1 or 2% of the population, and the party was even banned from parliament. Since the great majority of Jews don't share this view and the great majority of Israelis don't share this view, what is it that Hagee can possibly do in this regard? Since, you're not saying he controls the Israeli government. In other words, if it's true, and I think you're right, that pro-Israel groups are exploiting Hagee and Hagee is exploiting them, it's mutual convenience, if you will. How does Hagee harm the situation?
Well, he's not.
Do you see what I'm asking?
It's not just his, wet dream of a total liquidation of Palestinians that's harmful. It's the incremental damage that you know, him and his supporters have done by providing support for, you know, settlement policy, which is an obstacle to peace. You know, Gary Bauer, who is, you know, a Christian right lobbyist who's very close to Pastor Hagee. I interviewed him a few years ago, and he told me kind of on background that he had taken, you know, settlers from places like Hebron, you know, Messianic settlers, and helped them lobby government officials in Washington. Pastor Hagee recently took some congressmen to the West Bank to settlements and to meet with the you know, the settlements board of governors, the Yesha Council. And I really you know, these are look, they're illegal settlements and they're an obstacle to peace, and he is working with these entities in order to create an obstacle to removing them. I mean, it's just going to make he's just another obstacle, another roadblock to any kind of two-state solution. And beyond that, Jewish life doesn't begin or end in Israel. There's a lot of Jews in the United States, and Pastor Hagee is engaged in a campaign to relegate us to second-class status in public schools. He's lobbying for Christian prayers to be said openly. He's lobbying for prayer in public school. He's attacking the ACLU, and you know, he's working to establish what he considers a Christian nation. And
so,
you know,
you're calling, I guess, on Jewish leaders. Maybe the ADL. Have they spoken against Hagee?
Right. Abe Foxman. I think I have a quote from Abe Foxman. He says, "I think there is a role for Pastor John Hagee. He has earned a certain recognition with the community because of his support for Israel." But, you know, what is the ADL's mission? It's supposed to be sort of a Jewish version of the NAACP. They're supposed to defend Jewish rights in the United States. And, you know, I know they feel strongly about Israel, but they're in conflict with their own mission because of their alliance with Pastor Hagee, because of his hostility to the Jewish diaspora. And he's written negatively about diaspora Jews, and so is his lobbyist, David Brog, who wrote a book comparing, you know, Jews who don't make aliyah to shtetl Jews, which, you know, basically an anti-Semitic trope. You know, when you go to Israel, like I went on the Birthright Israel tour when I was younger. It's a free trip that Jews 18 through 28 can take to Israel. And there is a certain of propaganda there, and on one of the tours, they told us that Israel's mission is not only you know, to protect Jews within Israel, but to protect the Jewish diaspora. And
right, it certainly has been from Israel's creation. I look at what they did in Entebbe, for example. You had Jews that were French, but you know, France deserted them, and they separated the Jews from the non-Jews and started killing the Jews, and Israel went to save them, even though they weren't Israelis. So yes, that I think that is part of Israel's mission.
Right. So I think it's troubling that, you know, Israel would enable a character like Pastor Hagee, who's so hostile to you know, our attempts to just have equal religious rights in the United States.
Do you see a distinction between Hagee and other preachers who share, I mean, when you talk about prayer in schools or homophobia or a lot of the things that Hagee believes in, I have to say are very common among the evangelical community, including things like the end of times and the rapture and all those things. Do you see a distinction in that John Hagee, you know, supports Israel while doing all these things that everyone else does? And so in that way, he differs himself from the other homophobic, anti-Semitic evangelicals that in our community.
Well, there's a PR value to him supporting Israel, and, you know, it's become part of the platform of the Christian right to, quote-unquote, support Israel. Of course, their support is contingent on Israel doing certain things.
Max, I've got to end the interview. An hour went very, very quickly. I want to thank you very much for your time and your work. Folks, if you have more questions, you can post them on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com.